To look this morning at the Great Commission. I'm just going to read it. But this was, I'm sure you realize, in that period of time that Jesus was on earth after his resurrection and before he ascended to heaven. He gathered his disciples on the Mount of Olives, which is east of Jerusalem. Interestingly, that is the point from which the Bible says Jesus will descend when he comes again. He will come to the Mount of Olives. So a very hallowed spot, that Mount of Olives. And it says that Jesus came to them, that is, to his disciples, and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age," or the end of the world. I want to read to you the purpose statement that we just recently adopted in our revised constitution. And this is not a statement unique to our church. Many other churches have statements very similar to this. But I just want to read it for you. Trust that you are able to see that. I have some words highlighted there. I'm sure you can see that. It says there, "The purpose of Ebba Beach Baptist Church is to bring people to Jesus Christ as Savior, to membership in his church family, to develop them to Christ-like maturity, and to equip them for ministry in his church and missions in the world, all in order to magnify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior's great commandment recorded in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Now that's the scripture passage that we've looked at for the last couple weeks. And the Great Commission we're beginning to look at this morning, recorded in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, guide us in this purpose. So I've taken out the other words here and I've left the five purposes at the top there. I'm sure you'll see them, but they're kind of scrambled. So I'm going to unscramble them. Under the two scripture passages, the Great Commandment, as it is called. Now that's the commandment where Jesus said, you should love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. So love for God, love for people. Those are that is really our constitution, if you will. And we're going to look at our bylaws, as it were, this beginning this morning, and looking at what our marching orders are as a church. We're looking at Matthew 28, 19, and 20. So we're looking this morning at missions. Purpose number three. Now we've looked at magnify, and let's see, what was the second one? Ministry. So I'm sure that was right on the tip of your tongue, right? Magnify means that we worship God. It's why we're here. We love him supremely. We know we ought to. We're challenged in that department, just as we are to challenge to love our neighbors with that same kind of love, agape love, that we love God with. So love God, love your neighbor. You will not stray from the purpose that God has for you as a part of his body, the church. But we're going to look this morning, begin to look at what are, if you will, our bylaws. We have the Constitution, which kind of gives the basis of our beliefs. Then our bylaws, how we operate together as a church. So it's kind of like the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commission gives us specifically what we are to do as a church. So we're going to begin to look this morning at our great mission. Now, some of you may remember the statement by John F. Kennedy. I do because I'm pretty old, frankly. But I remember John Kennedy's saying that he wanted the nation to launch on this great mission to the moon, manned mission to the moon. That was the great mission I'm sure it was said it was the greatest mission that ever was accomplished by humankind. Well, I want to suggest to you that there's an even greater mission. And that's the mission that Jesus spoke of here in the Great Commission. So we're going to look, first of all, at three aspects of that mission to which Christ has called us. And first of all, we're going to look at our authority in mission. So if you'd like to take notes, there's a handy-dandy note page there on the second page of your bulletin. I trust you have one. We may not. Did everyone receive a bulletin? If you did not, raise your hand and maybe someone will share theirs with you. I think we might have run out this morning. But we're going to look at authority in mission here. What is our authority? Well, when the man to the moon mission was undertaken, the authority was basically the president, the nation, all of those that were leaders in this mission. I suppose you could say the president, if you could sum it up. Well, here is our president, if you will. President not just of the United States, but president of the universe, who has given his commission, our mission, to us. Our mission, and we're going to look at what, first of all, the scope of it. Now, I know, you know, moon, that's far off, and we think, ooh, you know, what could be greater than that than to go to the moon? And I'm sure that there was some value in that. I'm not suggesting that that was a waste. I don't think it was a waste. But there's an even greater mission to which God has called us. And it's spoken of in the words of the Savior here. All authority. First of all, he said he wanted us to know where the authority came from for this mission that he was entrusting to his disciples and us who are their spiritual descendants today. And there's a scope for that authority. Now, we may think that the world is out of control, and indeed it is. We live in a world that doesn't recognize, frankly, the authority that Jesus spoke of here. But he said all. And I think this is something that's so obvious, one of those obvious things that sometimes we overlook. I'm very good at overlooking the obvious. I'm sure you are too. But all, doesn't that mean all? I think it means all. I think it means exactly what the Savior said it was. I mean, think of who said it. If Jesus really is the Son of God, if he really is who the Scripture says, the one through whom God created all things, then didn't Jesus mean all? I think so. I think he meant everywhere. There's no limit to his authority. So there's a scope, there's a superiority. That Greek word, exousia, that's translated authority, I think is like the Old Testament name for God, I am. Because it means out of the intrinsic nature of the being being, of course, the Son of God, the one who is God, and the one who came to be God in human flesh, became one of us, but united his deity with our humanity. Out of that being that he has, as the Son of God, to whom the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's that authority that Jesus is speaking of here. So does that mean Jesus is greater than the devil? Well, I would hope so. Up here I know. But sometimes, you know, we think we know it, but we don't really act sometimes like it's true. So I think it's one thing to say these things and to agree, you know, up here that it's right. But do we live that way? Do we really believe that what Jesus said is true? All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. I mean, I think that just gives us a blank check, doesn't it? To do what he has called us to do. There is no shortage of his power. And there's a sphere of authority. Here he said in heaven and in earth, on earth. And that really takes in the whole universe. Colossians chapter 1 expands that to include not only the visible universe, that is what we can see, and we really can't see all of it, certainly not with the naked eye, and even with the great telescopes that they have now, Hubble, for example. There are parts of the universe that are so remote that they can't be seen. Who has the authority there? Well, if we believe what the Bible says about Jesus, if we believe that He is the Son of God, that He did what the Bible says, rose from the dead by the power that is intrinsic in His nature, being God. Then that just means that He has authority everywhere. So there's authority in mission that we can learn from in this statement of our Lord. I think there's the lesson of availability, our availability in mission. So we have our authority in missions, mission. Now, I know we sometimes use the word missions, plural. It's really a mission. And the mission is to, as Jesus said here, to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to the ends of the earth. Now, you and I may not be able to go to the ends of the earth unless you feel like you're already there. But I don't think we think that way. We usually think of someplace elsewhere. We can't go everywhere, but we can go where God has put us, can't we? And we can certainly have a concern for reaching people in other places that would move us to pray that God would open hearts to the gospel. Do you see that we must be available for this task? If we are to call ourselves disciples of Jesus, there's a conclusion in this availability of missions. Thinking about that, Jesus said, therefore, and I learned very early in my Christian life that when I find a therefore or wherefore, I need to find out what it's there for. So you go back really to what Jesus had said before. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So has Jesus made all of the provisions necessary? Well, I think so because of what he said here. I'm sure you would agree. So there is a conclusion. There is a command. Now, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. The Greek has a participle there, and there's actually, it literally says going, but it has the force of an imperative or a command. So it doesn't weaken that, or it doesn't mean that we're going anyway, so we might as well tell people about Christ. Well, certainly we ought to do that. But I think it suggests that we also need to purpose that we are going to go. Because if you're like me, you would say that you probably are. I mean, you're not like me. You're glad for that, I'm sure. But we're all alike in one way. I think we sometimes need to be prompted. We need to be prodded. We need to have our conscience stirred, our emotions even stirred by the need for people to know Jesus. And it's why Jesus said, go. Go. It's so obvious, again, I think we overlook it. But then there is a commission. Go and make disciples, Jesus said. A commission is an act of granting certain powers to the authority or the authority to carry out a particular task or duty. It's really like a command, but it joins the command with a mission. We are commanded to go on this great mission. Again, greater than going to the moon. Now, they're talking about going to Mars or even, taking the next step, up there. No, I'm kind of excited about it, but not all that excited. I mean, I think maybe we should, but I know that we should do this. I think it's greater. Well, in my head, I know it's greater. But sometimes we don't always act like what we know to be true. I mean, does that make sense? I hope it does. Because here is the most important commission ever given to anyone. I think it's really what gives us a sense of purpose as a church. I mean, otherwise, we're no different than any other club or any other organization that may meet together. But we have a mission, and that is to join our hearts and our hands, our resources, our prayers, certainly, all of our energies in this task to which Jesus has called us here, to make disciples of all nations. So we've looked at an authority, availability, and then I want us to see what our activity in missions is, what it is. Well, Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. Now that word make reminds me of what it says in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, where it says God created all things. It's kind of like that I mean, we don't create people like God does, of course. But when you think of it, it's like physical birth. We don't make that child or that baby. God does that. But He allows us to participate in that great privilege of bringing new life into the world. Well, we have an even greater privilege, and that is to bring new spiritual beings into this world, new creatures in Christ. I'm not talking about aliens, but bringing people to that new birth experience. It's constructive. Make disciples of all nations. Now, most people like to make things. I could make a pie and use that as an opportunity to glorify God and maybe even to win a neighbor to Christ. Well, I can't. I would probably drive them further away if I tried to make a pie. But you know, we're creative that way. You like to make things. I think it's probably true of all of you. You may have a wood shop and you like to make things with your hand. Where does that come from? Well, I believe it comes from that image that God has created in us. I don't find my cat wanting to make things unless it's just a man. Well, I shouldn't call him my cat. He's kind of the community cat. And Marlene claims him more than I do. But, you know, to be honest, he doesn't seem to claim us either. So, but I don't see animals making things. I think birds make nests, but they're kind of messy looking. I suppose if there is a creative being, maybe the bee, making a bee honeycomb or something. And there's an order in nature, certainly. But I don't find that they are creative the way God has made us to be. Well, I think it's part of that creative energy that God has put in us. Maybe that entire creative energy that He has created in us should be given to this making of disciples. Not that we shouldn't make other things. We should. God has made us all different that way. And so you can bake a pie and take it to your neighbor. And, oh, you know, they would probably love that. Might be the way that you could open a heart to the gospel. There are many things that we can do. You may be able to fix a car and have a neighbor with a car problem. And so you can give a helping hand that way. Do you see how this could be an avenue? And not that we want to prey upon people or, you know, have ulterior motives in what we do. But I think it's part of that making of disciples that Jesus is speaking of here. It's constructive. It's instructive. A disciple means a learner. Kind of like our idea would be an apprentice. It's kind of that idea that we are to take them alongside and teach them what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Study the Bible with them. You may know a friend who's not even a Christian, but they're willing to study the Bible with you. Do you see the many creative ways God could use us to fulfill His great commission? And it's inclusive. Jesus said, we are to make disciples of all nations. Doesn't that mean we shouldn't set limits on who is worthy of the gospel? Some of the most wonderful friends, Christian friends, that I've had over the years have been people that I frankly didn't even like that well before they became a Christian. And I'm not saying that God is going to make us likable necessarily, but God can make anyone into that new creation in Christ, that person that He created us to be. Doesn't matter who they are. Sometimes we think that there are people who have it all together, but they really don't have it all together. And maybe we omit trying to win them to Christ. So I just want to encourage us to be inclusive, because we all set barriers. We all have our, back on the mainland growing up in the Midwest, we had this expression, I don't know whether you have it here, but the other side of the tracks. You know, oh, they live on the other side of the tracks. But we had, usually in small town America, you have these trains running through, train tracks at least, running through the town. So we set up these artificial barriers. Well, Jesus just intended that this mission be inclusive of all. When you think of it, isn't it why we're here this morning? May we think about that. May we let the Holy Spirit apply the truth to our lives as we surrender ourselves to Him and to His mission.